show you don't want to miss.
The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big. Think big. It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show. And we are finally, hard to believe, we're finally getting a chance to recap last week's title game with Texas and Alabama. And certainly our heart goes out to the Longhorns after their star quarterback Colt McCoy, a senior. He only lasted 5 plays after his throwing shoulder was numbed by a first quarter hit. And, of course, was sidelined in the biggest game of his college career and his final game as a Texas Longhorn. It was a heartbreaker for sure. It is always a pleasure to welcome into our program sports writer Steve Habel with Horns Illustrated, one of our favorite guys who will certainly be able to break it all down for us. You know, Steve, it doesn't matter what side of the fence you were on. When I saw that injury and that hit, it gave me a quick flashback to Oklahoma's quarterback Sam Bradford against BYU that first game of the season. It just made me almost physically sick. What was your initial reaction when you saw what happened to Colt?
Well, it was really a shame that Colt didn't get to show the whole nation what he had ready for Alabama. It was kind of weird that the season was bookended by injuries to star quarterbacks, both front and back. But we all know that football is a rough game and played by rough playing guys. And I thought the game as a whole, Texas was able to adapt pretty well considering the shell shock of not having their leader. For the all but 5 plays, and you know, the game was a classic. I mean, the score will look like Alabama really dominated, but that certainly wasn't the case.
We will talk about Alabama as far as their execution, because there were some real highlights in that particular game. But kind of take us back and give us the inside scoop. I know some of the stuff, perhaps if you're tuning in, it may seem like old news, but you had kind of an inside track as far as when Colt did go into the locker room, the conversation between him and his dad, and just dealing with such a devastating injury.
Well, you know, we all know that Colt is a very religious young man. He really relied on his faith to get him through some troubled spots in his career. And he the picture that I'd like to paint is that we heard from an ESPN.com reporter that Colt was in the locker room, actually in the X-ray room, after he had been hurt early in the game, with his arm in a big vat of ice, trying to get some kind of feeling in it while he was on a knee, praying out loud to be allowed back into the game. And just he was trying. He just didn't understand. I guess none of us did why something like that had to happen to him at that time. But in the second half, I mean, he actually at halftime he tried to throw some balls. He couldn't get any feel in his hand, and he actually tried to come in the second half anyway. They had to take his helmet away from him, Melissa. He was so into the game, and before the game, he was really confident that Texas coaches had developed a plan that he could exploit, being the fact that Major Applewhite is the Texas running back coach and former Texas quarterback, and had worked with Coach Saban before, the Alabama coach, and that Will Muschamp, who also worked with Coach Saban, the Texas defensive coordinator, seemed to know how to attack Alabama. So it was a heart-wrenching situation for Colt and for the whole Longhorn Nation.
Steve Habel is along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We do want to take time to pause, as always, and recognize our premier corporate sponsor. That is our friends and folks at Western Company of Texas. We are doing a recap of the title game with Texas and Alabama. And I know that his father, Brad, he coached him in high school. So, you know, this had to be so hard, not only on his son, but also on his father, to see all of his dreams kind of crashing down around him at this moment.
Well, you know, I think that that Brad McCoy knows very well that football is a game where everything can change in a play. He's got another son that's coming into the University of Texas next year as a quarterback. And, you know, it's a rough deal. I mean, there's no doubt about it. People get hurt playing football. I mean, Bradford got hurt, but he's still he's had a little bit of chance to recoup here. I mean, it looks like he's going to be a high draft pick in the NFL. We expect Colt to be drafted in the NFL as well. Maybe not as high as Bradford, but, you know, it's like I said at the start here, it's just a shame that as good as the game was, that we didn't have a chance to see both teams play with their full load of weapons. I mean, I think that as well as Garrett Gilbert, the Texas backup quarterback, played, you really have to wonder how McCoy could have exploited the Alabama defense if Gilbert had the success he did in the second half.
And here momentarily, we will talk about Garrett. I think a lot of the future is certainly very bright for the Texas Longhorns with this young man. But here, Colt McCoy, the all-time winningest quarterback in Division I, four-year starter. You had just talked about as far as the upcoming draft. What do you think his future is in the NFL?
Well, he's being projected right now, Elissa, as a second-round draft pick. I think that's fair. There's a lot of great players out there. On top of great quarterbacks, I think McCoy is a guy who can stay in the league for a long time. You know, when you're a quarterback in the NFL, you're always just one play away from not being a quarterback in the NFL, so they have to have some good talent behind you. McCoy, I don't think, will come in as a starting quarterback. He'll probably come in as a backup. And he'll get his chance to show what he can do in the NFL.
Colt McCoy certainly rebounded quite quickly because on Monday, well, he dropped to his knee and he popped the question in true Texas fashion, proposed to his girlfriend, Rachel Glandorf, right there at Daryl Royal Memorial Stadium. Will you marry me? I like his taste, his style. That's pretty good.
Well, I know he had connections. Not all of us could do that. to put a will you marry me up on the Jumbotron, they call it the Godzillatron down there. But I think that was probably a surprise the way it was done, but not a surprise to Rachel that he was going to ask her to marry him. Also this week, been a busy week for Colt. Besides that, he went to Birmingham to meet with noted orthopedic surgeon James Andrews about his arm. He got a good report back from that. Dr. Andrews all but assured the NFL scouts that McCoy will be ready to throw at the NFL Combine. Also, Thursday, he was named the Manning Award winner for the best quarterback in college football. So it's been a heady week for McCoy, a heady last 7 days, that's for sure.
Outstanding. Hey, Steve Habel is along with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. Here we have highlighted great Colt McCoy. Let's also give a high five to the wide receiver, Jordan Shipley. He finished as the Longhorns' all-time career leader in receptions. An exceptional young man as well.
Shipley is also a man of a strong beliefs and strong faith. He's taken 6 years to really find his stride at Texas. 2 years full of injuries really cost Shipley early on in his career. But he's another guy that's going to make an impact in the NFL. A lot of people feel he'll be a great third receiver, a la Wes Welker type, when he comes into the league. But he'll have a chance to make an impact at the next level as well.
Another guy we've got to highlight, and he's not a senior by any means, he's only a sophomore, Earl Thomas, named All Big 12 after leading the conference, and he was second in the nation with 8 receptions. Fantastic, and he seems to be kind of the guy that always seems, when I watch him, he seems to be in the right place at the right time.
Well, a lot of people said that wasn't the case last year because he was in on the phantom non-tackle against Michael Crabtree against Texas Tech, but you know, Earl has grown up a lot over the last 2 years. He announced right after the game that he is going to go to the NFL. And he'll be good at that level, too. I mean, they're projecting him as probably the highest Texas player pick in the upcoming draft.
Steve Habel's with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. The other Texan that we've got to talk about, and I know he looked a little jittery when he first got into that championship game, but then when he settled down, he was 15 of 40 for 186 yards. It was a little rough for him at first, but Garrett Gilbert, I mean, who could have imagined that he would be put in such a huge stage, such a huge situation? But I think once he got his confidence going, he was able to almost close things in on the fourth.
Well, there are two aspects we could talk about, Alyssa. I mean, whenever he came in, you know, Gilbert was not really prepared, obviously. I mean, he had been prepared in practice to play, but, I mean, in the biggest stage on the sport that the sport has, I mean, obviously it was a little bit overwhelming for him. The Texas coaches also were very, very limited in what they gave him in the first half, hoping that they could just hold on until they could get to the second half and maybe make some adjustments to the game plan. You remember that the game plan, probably didn't know this, but the game plan for this game was that McCoy was going to run about 35 or 40% of the time.
Right. I mean,
they had planned on him really carrying the ball, and crossing up that Alabama defense. Obviously, when McCoy got hurt, Gilbert is your second string quarterback, and they're not going to risk him very much in the run game. So that changed everything. What really changed things was the intercepted shovel pass right at the end of this first half that cost Texas a touchdown and really put them in a big hole.
Steve Habel's been with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. So Texas finishes 13-1, second in the nation overall. And, of course, after four seasons, four glorious seasons with Colt McCoy, he's now gone. Gilbert is going to lead the Longhorns offense. What will be the area or the point of emphasis that we'll need for improvement? I'm going to assume it's going to be playmakers emerging at the receiver and at the running back position to support Gilbert.
Well, that's been the key for the last couple of years. But Texas does have a lot of playmakers. Malcolm Williams is a great wide receiver. They have James Kirkendall, who had a great year this year, John Childs, Marquise Goodwin. All those guys made a big impact this year, so I don't think that's a situation. Running back, you've got Trey Newton, who is finally anointed the starter the second half of the year. He had some 40-odd yards rushing in the big game, even though they knew that he was going to carry the ball after McCoy got hurt. Also, during the run-up to the game, this past last game, Chris Watley, who was the big recruit last year and redshirted this year, had a fantastic time of practice. And they're talking about him pressing Newton for a starting position next year. The real point of emphasis in the offseason will be the offensive line.
Of course, talking with Steve Habel this weekend on the Big E Sports Show, and also one of the big storylines that we've heard so much this past week. Obviously, a lot of movement going on in the coaching carousel, and then with Lane Kiffin going to USC. Once again, Will Muschamp's name emerges, and he has come out on the record to say that he is committed to staying at Texas. Is there anything, I wanted to ask you this, Steve, is there anything that could perhaps at some point lure him away? I mean, I know that he is the coach in waiting right now. What is the buzz down there in Austin?
Everybody is. Every time an opening comes up, especially in the SEC, they talk about Muschamp because that's where he's come from. Muschamp is very happy here in his role. He knows he'll get a shot to be the main guy at Texas whenever Coach Brown retires, whenever that is. He's getting paid pretty well to sit back and wait.
$900,000?
About $950,000, actually. And that he'll get a little bonus, too, if he's not head coach by the end of next year. So I think he's happy where he's at. I think it's natural that he is put into a position where everybody wants him to come because he's such a great assistant and really a on-the-rise coach. So all these SEC teams that seem to revolve down there always want to put his name in the hat. But I think Coach Muschamp's pretty happy where he's at.
Well, let's look at, real quickly, overall the landscape of the Big 12 Conference. It was just kind of a wacky year. Of course, Mike Leach being gone now, Mark Mangino being gone, Turner Gill's in at Kansas. Nebraska did a great job. What can we anticipate going into the season next year?
Well, I think that Nebraska will be the team to beat in the Big 12 North. I think they've really showed that they've turned a corner with that. As long as they got a fantastic defense in the Pelini brothers, Bo and his brother Carl, who is the defensive coordinator, really are fantastic defense coaches. The South, I think, is a toss-up between Texas and Oklahoma. We'll both have unproven quarterbacks. You know, Gilbert will be in for Texas. Landry Jones will be there for Oklahoma. Landry's got a little bit more experience under his belt, obviously. A&M will be somebody to be talked about a little bit with Jared Johnson. He's really good. We saw that in Texas against Texas A&M at the end of the year. And then Baylor, of course, will get Robert Griffin back, who was out for the whole season. So he's always a dangerous weapon.
And yes, when you're talking about Jerrod Johnson, of course, the Heisman Trophy candidate who actually ranked third nationally in total offense with 314 yards per game, and really Texas A&M, a team that we'll have to keep our eye on because they are returning most of their primary playmakers from an offense that set a school record this past year. So it was kind of nice to see Texas A&M. I know they didn't really have a winning record, 6-7, but the Aggies look like they could be turning things around down there in College Station. Well, Steve, we're getting ready to wrap things up. I know that you're off and traveling again. What kind of projects are you working on, and what can we do to help preview Horns Illustrated? What are some of the things that are getting ready to come out?
Well, keep an eye out for Horns Illustrated. We'll have a recap of the big game coming out in the next couple weeks. We'll have our recruiting issue coming up right after that. And the next month, we'll go on to talk about spring football, which it seems like just around the corner. And then, you know, the Texas basketball team, men's basketball team is on a pretty good roll right now. As we're talking, they're the number one team in the nation for the first time in their history.
Yes.
And they're playing well. They look like they could go deep into the NCAA tournament. We've got Texas baseball team ranked as the number one in the nation preseason as well. So lots is happening down here in the Texas Hill Country.
And perhaps it's all being inspired by Kevin Durant up in Oklahoma City, right?
Well, Durant, I saw this, don't know if this is 100% true, but he had his 20th game with more than 30 points. He's really, boy, he sure has matured as a player, and he just looks bigger. I mean, I was watching the game against San Antonio this week, and he just looks like he has just grown into a real a man among boys, even though he's still a young man, very young man at 21. So maybe that's a little bit of an inspiration for his old mates on the Texas basketball team.
Certainly is. Very impressive. As you had just said, he's got the all-around game. And just even to see defensively what he's been able to do and even the rebounding category, it's just like if you look at his stats, you line him up from last year to this year, just the continued improvement, it's exciting. And he's very humble. And I will say, you'd said he's 21. He is beyond his years. He's very mature, and obviously he's surrounded himself with some really good people, and it's great to see. We're excited to be following the Oklahoma City Thunder. Well, listen, Steve Habel, it's exciting to be following you, and where are you off to? Padre Island? Going to be sipping on cocktails and taking in some sun?
Actually, I'm heading south. In my role as one of the United States correspondents for CyberGolf, which is a huge golf and travel web portal. I'll be down in South Padre Island starting next week, doing some reviews on some golf courses down there, and then I'll be hither and on, as they say, through the year. And with my work that I do with PR director for Tom Kite, I'll be following him this year. He's getting ready to come back to the Champions Tour in February after a shoulder surgery, so it's going to be a busy year. I'm looking forward to it, and I always look forward to visiting with you, E.
Absolutely, and we want to get Tom Kite back on the program. Just real quick, can you give us an update? I mean, how did his surgery go? How has rehabilitation gone for him?
Kite's shoulder surgery went about as well as can be expected. He was hoping to be back into playing a full schedule by the start of the Champions Tour year. Dr. James Andrews, his surgeon, asked him to slow down a little bit and start in the middle of February. He'll begin when the Champions Tour heads to Florida. Spoke with Tom yesterday. He is excited about the year. Looking forward to a lot of the plans. It's a big year for him because he's going to try to qualify for the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach, where he's played four times. He'll be the only time to ever play five times at one venue if he can qualify. So that's really his main goal right now, and of course just getting back and being competitive, so we're looking forward to that for him.
Perhaps that can be a big year for Tom Kite, but what about Tiger Woods? When would you anticipate, what's your thoughts on that as far as when perhaps he might return?
You know, Tiger has got his own timetable. Obviously, we're all hoping he'll get back sooner than later because I think it helps the game for him to get back out there and get this stuff behind him. Wouldn't be a bit surprised to see if he shows up at an Arnold Palmer's tournament down in Bay Hill in March. And definitely by the Masters. I don't think there's any doubt that he'll be back for the Masters this year. The major tournament's really set up for Tiger. They're on courses that he really likes. I really think the best thing for him is to get back on here and get to doing what he does best and then get the rest of this stuff behind us. I think the whole world is kind of standing back and waiting to see what Tiger does. And hopefully when he comes back, he'll be ready to concentrate on golf and not have to worry about the stuff that's off the course.
We definitely want that to happen. But listen, Steve, we love having you on. We'll definitely catch up with you here real soon. And when is signing date? That's February what? Is it the 3rd? I don't have the calendar in front of me. It's sometime in February, but we will definitely have you on because we want to hear how they finish up as far as with the recruiting classes and things like that, okay?
Outstanding.
Good job, Steve. Thanks so much for coming on. We'll catch up with you real soon.
Thanks for having me on. You take care.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Jason Peters is going to be up next with our Under the Helmet segment. Stay close.